Welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Tristan Vick, and joining me is Dustin Nation. Dustin, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. It's Tuesday evening, a few days after a comfortable 2-0 home win in a rainy Frisco, Texas. 3 points is better than 1 point, which is better than no points, so I can't say I have anything to complain about.
You're good at math.
I am. I went to school to learn how to do math, so I'm glad I got a good edumacation. Let's break down the match. I don't really have much of a preview for this weekend, but I think there's a lot of positives and a lot of predictions that we made in the last episode, some of which came true, some of which were wildly off base. So why don't you go ahead and get us started? What'd you think of the match?
So I actually just finished watching it. This is Tuesday. We're recording. So I didn't get to go to the match. I chose to take my wife on a date instead, seeing how I know I'd abandoned her the past 2 weekends. So I decided to, take care of things on the home front, but, it looked like, FC Dallas just, they did the job. I think the biggest talking point or the biggest like question mark going into the game was going to be the lineup. It was always going to be the lineup. We had our prediction last week on what we thought whether we thought Oscar would roll out the 4-4-2 again, or whether we thought he'd revert back to the 4-2-3-1, or what was he going to do. Yeah, and you predicted that he was going to stick with the 4-4-2, and you were right, and I was wrong. Mark it on your calendars. But it did have a little bit of different look this week. We set Rudy and Diaz. Diaz sat last week, but Rudy sat this week in favor of Lamar up top. What'd you think of starting Mascara on the left wing and Lamar up front with Coleman?
I agree. I did get that right. Just like to repeat that. I was actually really impressed with the entire flexibility that Pareja showed in his lineup. It was a 4-4-2, but there was some weird layering to the way that we ran the channels. Mascaro kind of was told, basically, it seemed like, to kind of do what you need to do. And whereas in the past, whereas with Lamal and Barrios, you kind of get those runs on the outside of the defender. Santi was really taking on the center defenders and pushing in on his inside foot. When he was over on the left, he switched back and forth. But when he was over on the left, he cut in, did kind of like the Angel Di Maria type move, which is what's the guy from Raheem Sterling? I like to call it the dodgy flipper, where he kind of like gets his arms out wide, and next thing you know, he kind of cuts in. Alexis Sanchez does that a lot too, and Mascaro did a lot of that from different points on the field, which made it really interesting. So I really liked it. I think we can talk about it a little bit more, but when it comes down to the first half, at least, the most effective player for FC Dallas by far was Mascaro, in terms of the threatening shots, the crosses, the deep runs that really, I mean, no offense to Philadelphia Union, but I mean, he really did tear them apart. So I was really impressed with his play.
Yeah, he did a lot of pressing, and the one play that sticks out to me is whenever he pressed the defender, and I think was it Trusty? I forget mm-hmm. which one, but the defender went to go pass, and Mascara slid in and blocked the pass, able to come up with the ball, and then got a shot that just went. I think that was the one that barely got saved by Andre Blake, but yeah, I mean, he was causing trouble left, right, center. He was causing trouble all over the place. So I think it was interesting the way one of the other things that stood out to me during the match was the way Mascara and Lamar kind of had their interchanges. And you could see Coleman would kind of take the defender, or at least one of the center defenders, over to the far side. I guess if you're, it would be the right side of the pitch. And Mascara and Lamar would just kind of play off of each other. You saw the several times where Lamar was able to like kind of do this little back heel kick over thing. I think he did it twice and keep a kind of a okay pass alive and turn those into opportunities. And that was really fun to watch. The interplay there, the directness of both players. I think Lamar especially is at his best when he's able to go direct. And so moving him more central, it definitely, I think, was able to get him more involved in the play. And yeah, it was definitely a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, it was. It's unique because it's a new face that we haven't seen a ton of just in general. But it was also unique in that having a speedy winger that can kind of take it inside and make something happen is something FC Dallas fans really need. One of the things that I thought was kind of funny when they pointed out on the broadcast at halftime was, I think it was Mark Folwell was saying that FC Dallas fans have to be a little bit disappointed because we've created all these opportunities and nobody has scored a goal. And I kind of chuckled because one of the funny things about last season was just that we had such a high expected goal number and never really converted on a lot of these opportunities. And one of the nice parts about this match was, instead of getting frustrated in the first half, we kind of knew we're going to catch them. We're going to get that break and we're going to get that goal. And they kept it up. And even though they put in a few different faces, the same type of strategy paid off. One of the things that was really impressive, I thought, was the way that we didn't have to control possession constantly. And we were able to kind of make the passes when we needed to. If you look at the advanced stats, the pass distribution in an FC Dallas match is always interesting to look at. You never really know who's going to stand out in terms of having the most passes or who kind of controls possession. And in this match, it was pretty even. There was a lot of involvement from all sides of the pitch, which just goes to show that this is a really complete team that, and we'll get to a broader point, which is, are we really that good? But the team itself has been playing really well within its limits and not trying to do things it can't, which is nice to see, but at the same time, it's kind of adapting. And it's a really nice thing to see from any team, but it's also really nice to see from a team like FC Dallas that had a lot of question marks heading into the season. So I think firing on a lot of cylinders.
Yeah. I think Oscar's kind of got the team playing, clicking really well. I think everybody's kind of on the same page. You can tell, you know, especially the midfield, getting it out of the midfield and up into the final third. You can see a lot of creativity and the players are starting to get used to each other, and you can tell. And yeah, to your point, last season, you know, whenever if we were that dominant and didn't score, you could almost kind of feel the draw coming on, right? Or like a late losing goal. But against Philadelphia, when you're watching the match, you could tell the team always held their belief. You never really felt like we were going to lose that match. You always felt like a winner was coming. And that's something that it's good to have, seeing how we spent most of last year not having that.
Yes, that's a feeling we didn't have a lot of. I feel like it's a good thing to have, but it's been talked about a lot on social media, but Jimmy Maurer's play in goal has been an unexpected boost to
that double save.
That was a pretty good save. I don't think that FC Dallas fans are expecting that much out of the goal, but at the same time, reading some reports, it's kind of more of a, why is this guy not getting a shot? He should have been playing MLS a long time ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah. How is he just now showing up?
Yeah. I mean, the guy's been toiling away in some of the lower divisions and just not really getting a whole lot of opportunities. So it's good to see. And it's also nice to know that we still have somebody like Jesse Gonzalez who can step in if he needs to. But until now, I don't see why you make a change. We talked about it constantly last year about how the back line of FC Dallas like constantly got shifted. And this year we've kind of kept it the same. I think the very first match we had Figueroa starting, but beyond that, it's been the exact same four for every match. So a lot of momentum taken the front or taken to this weekend's trip. So
yeah, that backline consistency is proven to be very important, very beneficial to just the overall play, you know, from everything from defending to setting up plays and playing out of the back. You can see Hedges and Ziegler, you know, shifting over and playing off of each other rather than just panicking and booting the ball up the field.
Yeah.
That game, there wasn't a whole lot of flashy going on with the defense there. I mean, we didn't have to do a whole lot. We quietly just went out and did our job and got that clean sheet. And, you know, Hedges got on the MLS team of the week. So with who else was in there?
I think we just had Hedges. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's picked by some intern in Chicago anyway. So like, why are we even talking about more, them?
Yeah. Obviously it's rigged. But one of the things that you kind of alluded to last year, where we, you know, had this constant moving on the defense, like who is in from week to week. We had a lot of change on the defense. In fact, I think we on the show had an entire episode devoted to how to fix the defense.
Yeah.
I remember it's something like, it's called like the defense episode or something, if you want to go back and laugh at us. But you know, it's really nice to have a back line that's just getting the job done. They're not out there, you know, causing a whole lot of worry, and they just get the job done. Cannon has come in. Everyone, he was a big question mark coming in, and you know, he's we've talked about it. He's better every week, more assured of himself every week. You can see his confidence. You can just tell by the way he walks. And I was watching him actually, the play kind of went over to the left side of the field and there was a big vacant area and you could watch him. He was sneaking in like a ninja. He had his arms like all, he was trying to like be small, and it was really funny to watch. But like that kind of craftiness is something, is a mark of a player that's confident in his ability to defend and get himself out of trouble if he pushes too far forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's got a head on his shoulders that it's tough to beat for some of these players. It's funny that we're talking about how well our back line's played. The back line is completely different from what it was last year. And so it's all new except for Hedges. And I think that's kind of a testament to how well they've gelled together. And also, I think in terms of the consistency, just knowing, I think it's the difference between having a guy like, no offense to Hernan Grana, but having a guy like Grana replaced by somebody like Cannon and Nedyakov come in and play great at left back. I like Figueroa, but he's lost a step. And one of the things that's nice about all these players is that they've all kind of bought into the team concept. And I don't know that the other players that we had in the back line last season necessarily were, because either they were on loan or they had other things on their mind, whether it was Zimmerman's head being turned by potential overseas interest or national team duty and whether or not you're going to get a call up. It's just there's a much clearer focus, I think, for this team. And it's enabled the back line especially to succeed, which people don't really think about when they talk about soccer, but there's a lot of off the field distractions, and not having to worry about your place in like the national team during a World Cup year, not having to worry about your place in the lineup, not having to worry about a contract or where you're going to be playing soccer next year. Those are all big factors, and we don't have any of that with those that are playing in the back line right now. So it's kind of nice to see. For anyone that is not looking at a schedule or a table, FC Dallas has the best defense by far in the MLS. We've only let in 3 goals in 6 matches played, which is on the lower end of other teams. But at the same time, it's still lower than any other team. And the nice thing about it is, those are points that we need for this end of the season. We can kind of get into the goals if you want. I mean, I thought that the penalty was a pretty clear decision against Philadelphia. Mauro does a great job slotting it home. It was a pretty weak penalty, to be fair, but he was on target and he put it far away from the keeper. And similarly, I thought Rudy had a great touch. It was kind of made up to be better than it was. And I actually think that if it hadn't been raining as much as it had, it might have probably gone out. But the wet pitch maybe slowed it down a little bit.
Maybe it's you know, he knew that it was because rainy, yes, and therefore he did what he did.
Yeah, there you go. Using Mother Nature to help you out.
Yeah, I just want to know whether that top knot is a, like, I saw a lot of the players come up and just kind of touch the top knot for good luck after that goal.
Maybe I should start putting my daughter's hair on a top knot before on the days of FC Dallas games as a
life goals, man, charm. Life goals.
Yeah.
You know, and just real quick before we move on, you were talking about the buying into the team concept. And one of the things that I've noticed in this match was when Diaz scored that penalty, the player that celebrated and seemed the most excited was Christian Coman. And it's, you know, he's having some of his own finishing problems right now. And, you know, he's kind of a question mark on the attack and whether or not he can finish. But you can tell that, I mean, no one on that field was happier for the team to go ahead than Coleman was. And I think it's kind of a testament to how much the players want to win for each other and not for themselves this year. So
yeah, I agree.
So
one thing I want to say on that is just that, it's been weird because we started the season without a guy like Kellen Acosta, who's a big presence and a much hyped goalkeeper, and Jesse Gonzalez, and it's given Pareja basically free reign to kind of do whatever he wants in terms of not feeling the pressure to play guys. And look what he's done these past two matches. He's taken his highest, I think Diaz is near the highest of his paid players, and benched him and only used him as a super sub type player. Guerrero hasn't sniffed the pitch, and you have a guy like Rudy who was coming off and scoring goals, but still, like, he's like a super sub. And I think it's working out really well, and I'll be interested to see what happens this weekend with New York. One of the things about New York City is they were obviously undefeated as well, and then we had Portland, which out of nowhere kind of blasted them. It was the most lopsided, weirdest match I think you've seen, with the way that they, I think it was, I'll find the exact stats, but basically Portland had like none of the possession, like none of the shots, and New York City somehow lost 3-0.
And hey, it's a pretty good blueprint for how to go out and beat them, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of like some fatigue in there.
Yeah, definitely.
New York City coming off of a away match at Atlanta, but
yeah, there's still some things that I'm sure that the FC Dallas coaching staff can take away from that and go out and hopefully we can walk into Yankee Stadium and answer the question that I'm about to ask you right now.
Let's hear it.
Are we good?
Yeah, man, we good.
No, not you and me.
Is FC Dallas good? Yeah. So I would say we are good. One thing is our results speak for themselves. You can only beat the teams that come in front of you. Now, if you look at our strength of schedule, the relative position of the teams that we have played, Sounders, obviously, they're dead last. Mm-hmm. Portland, 9th. Colorado, 8th. We have a draw against Salt Lake. So we've kind of played the middle of the road to the bottom of the West, but and Philadelphia is near the bottom. But we've got a good win against New England on the road, which is not something that we should take for granted. I would say we're a pretty good team that still needs to get tested on the road. Clearly, this new formation that Pareja's kind of been experimenting with that is a little bit more direct initially and then focuses on our strengths later is something that kind of reinvigorates the team tactically. So I think he's added a little bit of an element to the way that we're set up, which is going to keep accentuating some of our strengths that can expose others' weaknesses. The big question going into the weekend, I think, is going to be whether or not we're going to be able to provide enough cover for the back four to prevent the New York City FC attack from succeeding. I also think that we're going to need to disrupt some of the way that they pass. They have a little bit of a narrow style. There weren't a ton of crosses in that match. But also, if you look at the way that the players in New York City FC kind of set up against Portland, you had Villa, obviously, very direct. But then you had some players that really come around the wings. And they played this 4-3-3 that almost forces you to have that your wide or your wing backs playing to the top of their match or top of their level. And I have a feeling that Reggie Cannon's going to be key to this match, shutting down that right-hand side. If he can prevent Service from getting in there, if you give a guy like David Villa a chance to get a goal in, he's gonna take that. So I'm more of the mindset that we are good, but we just need to be tested on the road a little bit more so that we can find what works best for us. Because we're kind of an enigma, the way that we set up, and then we end up actually executing. Both our goals came from substitutes. It wasn't that our initial setup wasn't effective. It just was that we didn't score. So right. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, you know, I kind of agree with you. I think we're good. I mean, that defense, no one else is letting, even other teams are playing bad teams and letting a lot more goals in than we are. That defense the defensive stats speak for themselves. I think the question is not if we are good, because I think we are good. The question is how good, and I think that will be answered on Saturday, or is it Sunday?
It's Sunday.
And that will be answered on Sunday. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to see how this plays out. It's a very small pitch up there at Yankee Stadium, and surprisingly so. I think I watched a match on TV of theirs recently, and I just every time I do, it's just astonishing how small that field is. So it'll be, you know, that's going to be obviously pose a problem for our players on our wide players and how wide they can get and how much space they'll have to work in. So it'll definitely be an interesting game, and so we'll see how Pareja rolls things out. And we'll know a lot more about this team come Monday.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be interesting to see how New York City reacts. I mean, that's a long trip back. And just this week, you had a guy like Patrick Vieira, the manager, who's...
Well, he's going to your Arsenal, right?
I don't know about that, but I think he actually rebuffed their attempts today, which apparently means that we actually tried to speak to him about it, which as an Arsenal fan is very scary. That
would you rather have Brendan Rodgers?
No, that was a joke.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think there's some definite questions to be asked about the team's focus.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier, you know, all the off the pitch stuff, it does have an effect on the on the pitch stuff. So we'll see if they're prepared for whatever it is we bring. And yeah. So what's your prediction for Sunday's match, Tristan? What's the scoreline going to be?
I'm going to say either 0-0 or 1-1. But
okay.
You're going to watch it, but you could fall asleep.
I think 1-1's right. I think the goal comes, I think Barrios gets on the score sheet here, and I'm not sure who, from probably David Villa, he scores all the time. So all right, well, we're gonna wrap it up, keep it short this week, and we will catch you next week, guys.
Sounds good.
Take it easy, Tristan.
Yeah.